Hello and welcome to the Muni Lowdown Podcast. My name is Paul Graves and I'm the managing editor for Debtwire Municipals. Joining me today are two of our ace reporters, Deb Pace and Simone Barabo. Both, I should add, listeners, out of Florida. Deb, Simone, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Today, I think we have a very interesting topic around labor relations, and we're going to start with California and what's been going on with the school district out there, a very well-known school district, Los Angeles Unified School District. And Deb, what's been the issues they've been dealing with?
Thanks, Paul. The district's largest union is heading the three-day strike effort this week. It said there's a big trust issue with the district. In fact, the district communication is based on fact-finding and mediation only that's being run by the state. They're not even talking to each other. But honestly, Paul, it's part of a larger issue we're seeing in education where state and local pandemic funding is ending. Schools are seeing a squeeze between tightening budgets in the case of LA, deficits in hundreds of millions of dollars, while at the same time, they're also balancing shrinking enrollment, staffing demands for higher wages and benefits just to keep up with skyrocketing inflation. Add to that aging buildings and millions, sometimes even billions, in infrastructure needs. And schools are really in a tight spot to keep budgets balanced, workers happy, and schools open.
And we're not just seeing it in elementary schools, or they're also known as secondary schools. We're also seeing it in higher education. And are there any differences between the two?
Yeah, in the case of higher education, some of the workers have been without contracts for nearly a year. Rutgers since July 2022, Eastern Illinois University since August. What we're seeing really is a push to increase wages for some of the lowest paid workers. A portion of them are also graduate students working at the university level, and some might not even be salaried. There's a push for higher wages just to help them deal with the rising inflation costs. But they're also seeing several $1,000 salary bump requests out of the gate in addition to the annual increases. Sometimes we're looking at 3 to 5%. Most of them cited the pay rates at peer or comparable institutions, so strike efforts would push to bring them onto more of a level wage playing field, if you will.
And are there issues beyond pay and benefits that are behind the strike votes and these efforts?
Workloads are a big factor as well since the pandemic, especially at Eastern Illinois and Chicago State University, which has specifically called out the increased workloads for its faculty and support staff as a major driver behind the desire for higher pay. Even in the state of Illinois, where state law was recently enacted to allow Chicago Public Schools principals the right to unionize, they said heavy workloads have increased massively since the pandemic. While the legislation wouldn't actually allow the principals to strike, some of our recent reports have noted concern that principals now have the power to demand whatever they want through the unions, and it would strengthen the already powerful unions in the area, and it would potentially threaten classes that have been subjected to several strikes in recent history.
Thanks, Deb. Looks like there's going to be some interesting cases to follow as the year goes on. But Simone, it looks like universities aren't the only ones with labor problems. Hospitals are having them too. What's going on over there?
Yes, exactly. So with hospitals, it's complicated in the medical space because it's not just higher wages that nurses and other medical workers want. It's appropriate staffing levels. And some of them are saying, like in the case of several hospitals in New York City that resulted in a short strike a few months back, that they have to care for too many patients at once and it's unsafe. And they can't do their jobs under these conditions. Appropriate staffing levels can be very hard to achieve because there's a national labor shortage. So if hospitals can afford it, and some of them presumably can as they cut back on contract labor, they can offer significant salary increases. But they may not be able to find enough workers to hire to get an appropriate ratio of patients to staff. And if they can, they may be pilfering from nearby hospitals. So one hospital solves the problem, but the problem remains in the community.
So Simone, you had mentioned that there's a staffing shortage. Is there a particular field where it's being most dramatically affected?
There are a few different fields, and one of the big ones is nursing. And so what you have hospitals doing is bringing in contract labor, so nurses who work for staffing agencies, and using them instead of full-time employees.
Simone, you just mentioned contract labor. How has that changed as the pandemic enters a new stage?
In general, judging by their financial statements, Hospitals are using a lot less contract labor than they were a year ago and 2 years ago, but still a lot of health systems are using more than they did back in 2019 before the pandemic. And contract labor, of course, is a lot more expensive than regular labor. It gives hospitals the flexibility to staff up or to staff down, but at a heavy cost. And so now you're seeing at least one state try to do something to stop what they view as exorbitant staffing agency costs. Oregon is considering legislation that would cap rates. Actually, today, so we're recording this on March 22nd, there's a work session scheduled on this measure in their state house. But critics are saying, hang on, you have other states like Massachusetts and Minnesota, which had caps prior to the pandemic, and they had to loosen them during the pandemic because of worker shortages. So you can't put a band-aid over the underlying problem, which is that there are worker shortages. There just aren't enough nurses right now to go around.
So is it only nurses that are taking labor actions?
No. So for nurses, you have a real supply problem. You can't just create nurses overnight. People need to be trained. And there's also been a nursing faculty shortage, which obviously exacerbates the situation. Then you're seeing shortages in continuing care retirement communities in areas like dining, where you have a more pure financial problem. They're not paying people enough to take the jobs. You're also seeing a push for unionization among medical residents. There was an article in the Boston Globe talking about medical residents at Massachusetts' largest health system going on a union drive, which said that the number of unionized medical residents has gone up by 50% since 2020. And these residents are looking for higher salaries to help pay for childcare and housing. Given that they work 80 hours a week, a long commute just isn't possible. And they're also looking for things like to take time off so that they can go to their own medical appointments. It's not a simple issue, and it's unlikely to be a short-term one, especially with nurses, where you need more nurses being trained, you need more nurses to do the training, and you need to set salaries at a level and provide working conditions that entice people to want to become nurses in the first place.
Wow, this sounds like an issue that's going to continue to bedevil the hospital sector for a while. And I know you'll keep us up to date on all the latest comings and goings. But thank you, Simone. Thank you, Deb. And thank you out there for listening to the Muni Lowdown. Please support us by liking, sharing, and/or subscribing on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And join us every Thursday for the latest drop of the Muni Lowdown. Take care.